Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, friends. I'm back with another episode. This week, I'm interviewing Inni Wimstad. She is one of the Norwegian World Cup speed skiers, and she unfortunately got injured as well this year. She's going to tell you a little bit about herself, but I had so much fun talking to her, and her and I have stayed really close during our injuries virtually because she's in Norway and I'm in Austria, but we've really helped each other a lot, staying in touch and just helping each other through some of the harder parts of rehabbing and being injured during a season. So sorry for the audio quality. There was definitely some issues because one, we are not together, so I was doing this virtually, and the audio just had some issues, so bear with us. It's a really fun episode, and I can't wait for you guys to listen.
Hi, guys. My name is Inni, and I'm on the Norwegian Speed World Cup team. I got injured in the beginning of December in St. Moritz. I tore my ACL, my meniscus, and I got a concussion. So the concussion was a bit worse than we thought, so I had to postpone my surgery. So I had my surgery the 3rd of January, so now it's almost 9 weeks since my surgery. So
she just started doing squats, which is very exciting.
I did 30 kilos yesterday.
Oh my goodness. That's exciting.
It is.
So Inni is probably had one of the most unlucky starts of the season. Like, I think I had the second most unlucky because I got injured at the second World Cup, but she got injured at the very first World Cup. And she last year at St. Moritz, which was like the second World Cup of the year, I think, she also tore her ACL. So she was literally just coming back to racing, and literally, I think you were like two bibs in front of me when you crashed, and I was so devastated.
Oh, no. Yeah, I started right in front of Alice, and it was Alice's first race, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just sad that I and hope that I didn't scare her off. But yeah, I guess St. Moritz is not my lucky place.
No, but I think, honestly, like, your crashes, the first year was so unlucky. Like, that was just the worst to watch. And then this last year was like, you just flew. Like, that crash was crazy.
I know. To be honest, I don't really know what happened. But my first crash was almost the same as yours.
I know.
Finished like your little roller and then, yeah.
Yeah. We have bad luck in the finish, but hopefully you only have that once and then you learn from there on out.
I think so too. What I learned from that crash was that every time I visualize in my head, I always have to do it all the way to the finish, all the way until I stop in the finish. So yeah. I really focus more on the end of the course.
Yeah, I think that is it's a good lesson to learn. Especially when you're doing speed and that's like probably one of the fastest parts of the track because you're just going straight and then all of a sudden you have to stop. And I mean, luckily we didn't crash actually stopping. We had like crashes in the course, but still visualize to the finish line.
Yeah, I know. That would be worse.
Yeah, probably.
Crashing after the finish.
That's
much worse.
So this is your second injury in 2 years. Is there something that's like different mentally this time around for you?
I feel like on one side, it's on something it's easier because I've done it before. I've done something like it before, so I know like something is similar. But on the other hand, it's also tougher because I have to be like home for another winter, and Oslo is really depressing during the winter.
Keeping it real.
So it is. I mean, now it's raining. Yeah, it's been raining for like a week.
Oh.
So I feel like I learned that I had to process, like, what happened and the injury and the thought that I have another season without skiing. I had to process that before I could start my rehab. I didn't do that in my last rehab, so I learned that, like, this year I had, I don't know, maybe 4 weeks after my surgery where I almost didn't do anything. I only did what I really had to do with my knee. And then after the 4 weeks, I felt like I was ready to start doing more training.
Yeah.
Because if I, like last year when I didn't process it all, it kind of hit me like 2 months later. And then I feel like it was much harder to process it. So that is kind of like different.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I can imagine, like, for me, this is my first time going through it. And I definitely, it was really nice having like so many other people to talk to and ask, like, okay, what would you have done differently? Or what are your biggest tips? Because I think that's really common, is people don't take the time to like embrace what's happened and what is like about to happen. And then it's like, you almost get burnt out again, like halfway through your rehab.
Yeah, for sure. And as we talked about, it's just the rehab gets more and more training and more like time in the gym. And then it gets harder and harder to find the time to process it all.
Yeah. Do you think that, I mean, last time you were injured, was there lots of other athletes at the rehab being at the same time? I can't remember.
No, I was the only alpine skier, and now we are 6 alpine skiers, I think.
Yeah.
So that is, like, of course, we don't want anyone to be injured, but now when I'm injured, it makes it much easier.
Yeah, I can imagine.
We train at the Olympic Center, so we meet all the time and do all the trainings and have fun. And
that's so good.
Yeah. Because you are training alone.
Yeah, I train alone most of the time. There's other athletes here that are rehabbing, but they're not ski racers. They do other sports. But I do find, like, I know it sucks that there's so many injuries this year, but it has been really helpful having so many people to, like, connect with and talk to. And, like, you and I have been talking the whole time, and it's been so nice. Just feeling like you're not alone, or that like all the weird stuff you're feeling isn't just you. I know you and I have will like text each other like, I cried today.
Yes. But I agree. It makes it much easier to feel like you're not alone, and all the emotions and the thoughts are, you're not alone in them. It makes it much easier.
Mm-hmm.
But when you texted me that you cried during training, I was like, oh, yeah, I wasn't the only one that cried during training.
What did you cry because of? Because you missed your bus?
Yeah, yes. So I had to take the bus, and I can't run. And the bus was early, which never happens. So I saw the bus. And I couldn't do anything about it because, we can't run. So
just watched it pull away. Yeah, sometimes it's the little things. It is crazy how much energy you burn just like healing. Not even like even just rehabbing, but because I'll go to rehab for like a few hours a day and then maybe go walk in the pool or do like a pool workout. And I'm so tired. And it's like insane how much energy just to like live it takes.
Yeah, I agree. But especially on crutches, because then everything is just so much more exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my gosh, yes. I feel like now everything is just so much more mentally exhausted because, like, my head is just spinning, and like much more than when I'm not injured.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So this weekend is the final World Cup for the girls circuit, and it's in Kvitfjell, which is very close to you, and you get to go watch. And how are you? Are you like really excited to go watch? Do you have some mixed feelings? What's the vibe?
I have mixed feelings about it. I am excited to meet all the girls. I met the Italians and Ilka on Monday because we had dinner in Oslo.
Right.
And it was really nice to see all of them again. So I'm excited about that in Kvitfjell. And to meet all my coaches and my service guys and my team.
Yeah.
But I am not excited to watch the race. I don't think that it's going to be like particularly fun. I was in Kvitfjell 2 weeks ago watching the men's race, and I don't know, it was kind of like painful to watch the race.
Yeah.
Because I want to run.
Yeah. I think it's kind of interesting that you and I had like different views or different experiences with watching the races, because like we talked about it right away, even when we were both like pretty fresh out of surgery, that you weren't watching any of the races on TV. And for me, like getting to watch the races was probably the most exciting part of my day. and like when I went to Garmisch, I mean, it's really nice to see your friends. I feel like that's the most exciting part, is just seeing all the friends. But I also felt it was so nice being around like the competitors and like around a competition again. But yeah, I also like, you're in your almost second consecutive year of rehab. And I'm sure like next year when I'm still rehabbing and not racing, I'm going to feel probably the exact same way, where it's like, I'm kind of overwatching. You just want to be out there doing it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause last year when I went to watch the Kvitfjell race, I only had good feelings when I got back home. Yeah. And I was only excited before I went to Kvitfjell. So now it's really different.
Yeah. But probably just like the timeline of it all. And I mean, this season has been crazy. Like there's so many injuries, and
I know.
On one hand, it's like so cool that a lot of our friends, like the people our age and kind of same like level as us, are doing so well. And it's really fun to watch. But then you're also like, ugh. That could have been me. I wish I was out there.
I know that also makes feelings. Yeah. But also when my team is doing good, especially in Cortina when Daniel got her first victory.
Yeah.
I was so happy for her, but I also had like major FOMO vibes.
Oh.
Because I really, really wanted to be there.
Totally. I felt the exact same way when Val podiumed in that downhill. I was so excited. Because I was like, yes, we're going to have a speed team again. But then I was also like, wait. I wish I had been there and like been a part of all that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But it's normal. Everyone likes to kind of act like, oh, I'm just out here grinding and like fully focused on myself, but it's kind of unrealistic to not get that feeling of like, oh, I wish that was me or I wish I was there.
For sure. I think it's really normal, but I don't think people talk about it, but I think it's really normal.
Yeah. Let's normalize it. Normalize being jealous of your friends.
But also happy for them.
Yes. Oh, 100%. You have to be happy for them, but you can also be a little bit jealous.
I agree.
Is there any hobbies or like weird things you've picked up during this injury?
I am really bad with hobbies. I remember my last rehab, they told me that I had to find a hobby. But my hobbies are meeting my friends, getting dressed, and going into town. Like, that is my hobby, getting coffee.
Oh, my gosh. That's like, honestly, though, that's such a good hobby.
Yeah.
I put on jeans for the first time last week, and I felt so proud of myself.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a win. Do you have a book where you write down all your victories?
I have a journal, and I was really good about it at the beginning, like in the hospital and stuff. I did it every day. And then once I got out of the hospital, I found I was getting so tired from like doing stuff all day that a lot of times I would forget to write it down. But I should turn it into a little victories book because, yeah, it is fun when you do something and you're like really excited, even though it's the most mundane thing.
Yeah, but I agree. I did it pretty like easy. Aww. I don't know if you it's an illusion, yes. But
it's so like, cute.
It's celebrate every victory. And then I have like all the victories down here and the date.
Nice.
And it's like my first one is getting healthy again from the concussion.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Brain is working again.
Yeah. And I feel like that helps because then it feels sometimes stupid to like be happy and proud that you can like move again on your own.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it is like at that time, it's a big win.
Oh, totally.
So for me, it helps to write it down.
100%. I'm going to start that tonight. Probably. I'm going to go write down all my silly things.
Like that you can bike. That you.
Yes. You started doing some school, right?
Yeah, I did. It's a study, like in collaboration with, the Olympic Center, I think.
think?
It's a small study and it is economy and, innovation.
Yeah. Nice. Fun.
So that, I guess it's a hobby.
Yeah, it is.
And hopefully I'm done before the summer.
Oh, and then the summer.
So it's just a small study.
Fun trips planned? Yes. Or no? Not yet.
Yeah, I have. I am in the beginning of May. I am going to the Amalfi Coast.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
Which I'm really excited about because it's been on my bucket list forever.
That'll be so fun.
In what?
That'll be so fun.
Yeah. Have you been there?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I can recommend it to you.
Please do.
And in July, because we have training in the end of May and June with the team. So my goal is to be able to be with my team in May and June for dry land training.
Perfect. Back with the squad. Yeah. Except... Yes. What's going to happen? Because now that Ragnhild's retiring, is it just you and Kaisa now?
I don't know.
Okay.
We will see when they select a team in April. Okay. I don't know. We don't know anything. but it's definitely going to be sad.
Yeah. That's a part of the reason you're going up this weekend, right? To go watch? It's her last...
Yeah.
Like her last real World Cup before finals?
I wasn't supposed to... Yeah, I wasn't supposed to go, but then she told me, and then I was like, okay, I need to go to Kvitsjøen.
I need to go.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see in April or May.
Cool.
What they do.
I mean, either way.
But yeah, do you have any plan?
I have no plans yet, but I think that part of the thing keeping me sane is just planning in my head a bunch of trips. And then I probably won't go on any of them, but at least in my head, I'm like, okay, I have something to look forward to.
I agree. Yeah, that really, really helps.
It's also, like I said before, it sucks that everyone's injured, but there's going to be so many people rehabbing this summer that it also maybe makes it, like, a little bit fun. There'll be people around and everyone will be kind of, like, I don't know, on a slightly different program than they normally would be on. So maybe some chances to go see friends in the summer.
Yeah, you should. You should come to Oslo.
Quick Oslo trip.
Oslo is nice in May and June.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like you don't spend that much time in Oslo in the summer, do you?
No, but we do in May and June.
Okay.
Yeah, because then we have for drawline training.
Are you... So you had surgery 2 months ago, so like start of January.
Yeah.
So when are you... Do you have like a goal of getting back to snow?
I have. My goal is to be back on snow in June.
June! Oh my goodness, that feels so soon.
Yeah, well, maybe for you, but for me, it doesn't feel like that. So... My physio said that if everything with my knee goes according to the plan, I can be back in June, but only for like, I don't know, maybe 3 days of skiing and two runs each day.
Yeah.
But yeah, just try to get back on snow and then skiing some more in July and in August and... And then my goal is to be back with the team in August.
Perfect. That's so good. I can imagine. I like have a goal that's so far away that it doesn't even feel real. But I can imagine that having a goal of when you can go back to snow is very motivating.
Yeah, it really helps. So every day or every time I have my intervals on a rowing machine, which I hate because I have to row on with one leg. But I do it two times a week. And during the whole interval, the only thing I think about is my days back on snow and getting my pay back in St. Moritz. That's like the only two things that I think about during the intervals that keeps me going.
Yes. I think I'm going to come watch St. Moritz next year. I'll be not skiing yet, but I'm just going to come and be a cheerleader and watch you crush it.
Yeah. Then you can cheer me on.
Yeah.
Do you have a goal for when we'll be back skiing?
My goal is 9 months from whenever I get my neck surgery, which is still up in the air. So, but for me, like, it's a little different because I already know I'm not racing next season. So it's kind of like I have this goal, like I really want to get back on snow. But at the same time, it doesn't really matter when I do it because there's no there's no rush with racing.
No, so you'll have a lot of time until the season after next season.
Yeah, exactly. I talked to Alice Merriweather, had a similar injury to me, and I talked to her a lot about it, and she was very adamant that I don't rush it because otherwise you just prolong it.
I think I will probably have more.
Okay.
Because right now I feel like it's still early in my rehab.
Yeah.
So the only thing is that I think it's important to have something every day that gives you positive energy.
Okay. I like that.
Because that then you have at least something to look forward to every day.
Yes.
That makes the days easier, and then it's also easier to take it day by day.
Like getting dressed and going for coffee with your friends.
Yes, exactly.
It's the little things.
Yeah, or just meet up for dinner, have a movie night.
Oh, yes. Or you can do a joint virtual movie like we did.
Yes, that was actually so much fun. And just texting during the whole movie. We should do that again.
Yeah, we should. For all you friends out there who aren't with each other, you can do virtual movie nights and just text each other the whole movie. It was actually way more fun than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I agree. I think all the messages during the movie, I think it's going to be so much fun to read through them again.
Oh, gosh. You could probably see the mental state that we're in based on those messages.
I think so, too.
Aw. Well, thank you so much for coming on my podcast and sharing your experiences. And I feel like we'll definitely do a follow-up episode in a few months when hopefully you're basically back on snow and I have an ACL by then.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Yeah.
And I look forward to the next episode.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening and supporting, and I hope you enjoyed hearing some of Innie and my thoughts on rehab and being injured. But I am really excited to watch her next year. I think she's going to have an amazing year, and I appreciate everyone for joining us this week, and make sure to tune in next episode. Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.